Hey friends, welcome to But What If You Did? On this pod, we are all about some serious millennial real talk and diving into those uncomfortable topics we've been conditioned to believe we just shouldn't talk about. I'm your host, Allison, and right now, when I look around, I see so many millennials trying to navigate these big life transitions. And well, if that isn't you, maybe you just have this gut feeling that it's time to pivot, but you're standing in your own way because you just don't know where to start. Maybe this isn't what you want to hear, but successfully navigating any big life change starts with putting in the work to learn about yourself. If you want to level up in life, it starts with learning to be self-aware and building those life skills that we simply weren't taught in the classroom. So, are you committed to doing the uncomfortable growth work? Well, if that was a hell yes, then grab some coffee and let's get ready to dive right in. Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of But What If You Did? I'm your host, Allison, and I could not be more excited for today's conversation. So this month, we are focusing on productivity and organization, and I think that that's something that a lot of you have expressed that you're struggling with in your lives, and for a lot of different reasons, right? So my goal this month is to bring on different experts that have different backgrounds in productivity and organization to kind of give you a wider perspective of how you can maybe combat some of that in your life. I know personally, I'm struggling with this a little bit as well. And I feel like probably because I've been researching the topic so much to help you guys this month, I'm finding myself really noticing where I'm not feeling productive in my own life and really looking to put strategy and workflows and process behind some of the things that just aren't working for me. So I have had a lot of fun researching this, and like I've gone down the YouTube rabbit hole, I've gone down the podcast rabbit hole, and I definitely think that this is a conversation that we need to continue, because when we're navigating big life transitions, what goes out the window first? Our routines, our things that normally feel easy to us suddenly feel really super hard. So I don't want to get too far down that rabbit hole, but just know that this is a conversation that I hope to continue forward into the months ahead and to continue to bring back guests every couple of months so that we are refreshing on the best ways to combat this like feeling of overwhelm and anxious feelings around, oh, I'm not doing enough. You know, I think millennials hold a lot of deep-seated limiting beliefs around this stuff. And as a fellow millennial, I'm sure you guys are going to resonate with what she has to share so much. I could not be more excited to welcome Amanda Warfield to the podcast. Amanda is a simplicity-focused time management and business strategist and the host of the Chasing Simple podcast, which is a podcast to help creative entrepreneurs uncomplicate their life and biz. And whether you're an entrepreneur or whether you're just navigating a big life transition alongside the rest of us, know that what Amanda teaches is so translatable across all areas of life. And I am just so excited for you guys to get the opportunity to learn from her today. As a reminder, I will have everything Amanda talks about today linked over in the show notes over on the butwhatifyoudidpod.com website. And I've redone how I have the website laid out. So if you haven't had a chance to check it out, do me a favor and pop on over there and slide into my DMs and let me know what's working for you and what's not. I'm constantly looking to improve that for you guys. So just a quick little plug on that. And let's get to the conversation. All right. Welcome to the podcast, Amanda. I am so excited to chat with you today.
Hi, Allison. I'm so excited. I've really been looking forward to this.
All right. So Amanda is one of my go-to experts when it comes to all things time management and simplifying life. So why don't you go ahead and give an introduction, tell everyone what your business is and what you're all about.
Yeah. Hi, friends. I'm Amanda Warfield. I am a time management and business strategist for solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, and I am very passionate about helping women especially find that balance in life, because I totally believe that work-life balance is possible. We just have to reframe some of our mindsets about it. So that's what I do. That's what I really focus on, is helping people make space so that they can find that balance. I'm a crazy cat lady. I love Disney. I read a lot of books, and that's pretty much me in a nutshell.
And see, this is why we get along, because those three things also define me, right?
Yeah.
So this month, we're talking a lot about productivity. A lot of what my audience it seems to be struggling with and a big pain point seems to be that they are very overwhelmed with how to stay productive coming off of a year-long pandemic where all of our lives drastically shifted. A lot of people were left unemployed. A lot of people were left furloughed and navigating some of these larger economic crises that for the first time in our life, we've been at an age, a transformative age, where we understand what is happening and we have to take full ownership of what's going on in our own lives. So something that I see a lot of millennials struggle with is this idea that we have to do it all in order to be successful. And I think 2020 really taught us that we can't do it all and we don't have to do it all. But the people that I think thrived in 2020 were people that knew how to scale back and still feel productive, whereas I feel like people that are maybe struggling a little bit more kind of have that alternative mindset of, I have to do it all, and because I can't do it all, I'm failing. And I think that that's a big mind shift to talk about. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have 100% been there. And honestly, it, like you said, it's a mindset shift. And when you realize that we have been given an impossible task, all this pressure to do it all, once you realize how impossible that actually is, that's when you have that freedom to actually lean into things like rest and self-care, which makes the productivity and the balance and all of the things possible, because you can start leaning into simplifying and really putting value on what matters and what doesn't. But it's really hard to know what your priorities are and to sit down and prioritize what matters and what doesn't if you haven't accepted the mindset shift and the belief that it's not possible to do it all and it's an impossible task. And so often when people talk about balance, you hear them talking about scales, like Lady Liberty scales, right? Well, if you're looking at balance that way, which most people do, and if you look at life that way, that means that you're trying to put the same amount of time and energy into every single thing going on in your life, because that's the purpose of a scale. You want it to balance equally. But you cannot spend 40 hours a week working and 40 hours a week cleaning your house. And why would you? You would need to do that. And 40 hours a week on self-care and 40 hours, it's not possible. It is literally an impossible task. There's not that many hours in a week. But when you start to look at balance and life as if it was a garden and you're just trying to tend your garden well, you can find balance so much more easily that way, because succulents need a lot less care than orchids do. Some aspects of your life are going to be orchids. They're going to be these very time-intensive, mentally exhausting, very needy areas of life that need a lot of time and energy. They need a lot of tending and they need a lot of your attention. You're going to have some areas of life that are like succulents and they don't need that much care. They don't need that much attention, but they can still thrive with less attention and less time and less energy. But until you wrap your mind around that and you realize that it's not possible to look at life as if they were Lady Liberty scales, you're always going to be overwhelmed and anxious and feeling like you're not enough because you're not doing it all, but it's not possible to do all of it.
I was listening to a podcast last week and they were talking about how it's not work-life balance, it's about work-life integration. And I thought that that was a really cool way of looking at it, because it is. It's about learning to balance those really important parts of your life against one another and to put priority behind what is more important to you, because what's really important to me may not be the same for what's really important to you. So when we're talking about, you know, now it's a mindset shift, right? So you have to embrace this idea that you can't do it all. And I think that that is really hard for millennials to admit. And so I personally found it really helpful to just start saying it out loud. You can't do it all. Sometimes you have to hear something audibly before you start to believe it. But once you get past that step, I know we talk a lot about, you know, why simplifying life is really kind of that key to better time management. And I know when I've been struggling to prioritize things lately, Amanda's the one that's like, nope, something's got to go. You can't do it all. You're trying to do all of the things and you're not at a point where you can do all of the things. So how do you teach time management strategies in a way that help people to see what it is they can let go of in their lives that might make space for some of these other things that do need more time to grow in the garden?
The best thing you can do is to write out all the things that you have on your plate and that you're trying to do. Write it all down, because a lot of times we don't even realize all the pressure that we're putting on ourselves with all the different things, because it's just up in our mind and we're focused on one thing at a time, or if you're overwhelmed, like 20 things at a time, but you're not seeing the full picture. And until you write it down and look at everything that you've put on your own plate, it's hard to really see and visualize what you're doing. So that's always the very first step. Write it all out, give yourself the time and space. And then I always suggest going through and grouping like with like. Categorize the things that you've written out. Maybe you've got a category for your child's school stuff, or just your children in general. Maybe you've got a category for self-care. Maybe you've got a category for places that you volunteer. Maybe you've got a category for work. Maybe categorize it all out. I love using highlighters, again, just making it really visual and tangible and working through what goes with what. And then look at all those different categories. Are they all actually something that's a true priority in this season of life, which is really key? And I think we're going to get to in a minute when we start talking about routines, but is it a priority in this season of life? Because if you're a people pleaser, which I know a lot of us are as millennials, for whatever reason, that's really ingrained in us. If you're a people pleaser, you have a hard time saying no. But if you start thinking about no's as a pathway for your best yes, that's a phrase that I got from Lisa Turkhurst. And she talks all about giving your best yes to the things that matter right here, right now in this season. Give your best yes to what matters, and the no's just pave that pathway. But you look at all the different categories. What actually matters in this season of life, especially right now during this pandemic? I know a lot of things have been lifted off of our plate for us, but there are probably other things that you could still take off your plate that don't really matter right now. Then go into those categories that you're still keeping around and look through the individual tasks. Which of these can be completely let go of? Which of these can be delegated? Could you hire somebody to clean your house for you every other week to help with some of the deeper cleaning? Could you do grocery pickup instead of spending an hour driving to the grocery store, picking out each individual grocery, checking out, driving home? Could you just do pickup? Which of the things can you delegate? And then what tasks are you trying to do within that category that don't really matter? Maybe if you've got kids, you put this pressure on yourself to make homemade treats every time they've got to bring snack into school. If that's not something that's truly a priority to you and you don't find joy in it and it's just a stressor, simplify it. Make it easier on yourself. You're not a bad parent for making it simpler on yourself. I promise, as a former preschool teacher, the teacher only cares that the snack comes in that day. They don't care what it looks like or anything else. They just want to make sure the snack gets there. But seriously, anything that you can simplify. So again, I'm just going to walk through that again because I feel like that was a lot. Write it all out. Group like with like. Categorize everything that you've got on your plate. Figure out what categories don't matter in this season of life. And again, maybe there's something you love to do, but it's just a stressor right now with whatever you've got going on. Say no for now, and you can always come back to it later. Get rid of the categories that you can't handle right now or that aren't a priority. Then look at the categories that are a priority and figure out what you can delete, what you can delegate, and what you can simplify.
I love that. I also love that you touched on things that bring you joy, because I think sometimes, especially as millennials, we get our plates so full that we forget to even think about what brings us joy. And I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with fellow millennials where I'm like, yeah, but what are you doing for you? Like, what are you doing that makes you happy, or, you know, brings you joy, or that you really look forward to every week? And so many people can't even tell you what those things are. And so when you're making these lists and really starting to audit this for yourself, I also encourage you to really look at what it is out of that list that is bringing you joy, because maybe there are a couple of those things that you do need to add more priority to. And maybe there are some of those that you can't prioritize right now because there are some other messy things that you kind of need to sort through first. But I think it should always come back to making sure that you are at least in tune with what brings you joy and you know what those things are for yourself, because those are going to be so important with taking care of yourself and helping yourself to stay in a more productive mindset.
Yeah.
So as we start to talk about all of this stuff and how to stay productive and how to just like keep the needle moving forward during these messy growth transitional seasons in life, I think that that's something I noticed that like I've struggled with in different seasons of life. It's like things get really chaotic and you know that you have to have goals and you know that you have to have things that you're working towards and you know what these things are, but it starts to feel so overwhelming that you're not actually doing what you need to do to keep the needle moving forward. And then you get to the end of the quarter and you're like, wow, I thought I was doing all of these things, but I was just wasting a lot of time. This wasn't actually helping me to move towards my goals. So what are your best strategies and tips that you have around how to keep the needle moving forward when you're navigating some stressful times in life?
Okay, I love that question. I want to go back real quick though and just add one more thing to what we were talking about, because something that I think as millennials, when we put all these things on our plate, we get so caught up in the doing that we forget to look at the big picture. And there's a saying, how you spend your days is how you spend your life. And when you're 80 years old, what do you want to look back on? Do you want to look back on being stressed and overwhelmed all the time and doing things that probably don't matter? Or do you want to look back on the things that are truly going to matter, whatever that is to you, whether that's time with family, whether that's building a business, whether that's really pouring into your career? There's no wrong answer there. But make sure that the things you're doing on a daily basis are aligned with that bigger vision that you have for yourself. And if you haven't sat down and thought about that, now is a great time to journal it out, take a walk, think about it. What do you want to look back on when you're 80 years old? So I just want to throw that out there because I think that that's a really key part of understanding how to prioritize when you're like, there's a lot of things and I don't know how to cut things.
I love that.
Yeah. So as far as goals, once you have that big vision and you know, well, these are the goals I have, but how do I connect those day-to-day steps? Well, again, it's just breaking it down. What are your goals? Making sure they're really specific, not just, I want to, you know, advance in my career. Okay, well, I want a promotion by this time. And then look at, how do I make that happen? What are the monthly actions I need to take or the quarterly actions I need to take? Then what are the monthly actions? Then what are the weekly actions? Then what are the daily actions? And continue to break it down step by step by step by step. And I was reading a book recently that I thought was really interesting. I think it was called Business Made Simple by Donald Miller. But he talked about key performance indicators, which is essentially what you want to apply to your personal goals is, you know, what is my daily habit, that key performance indicator that's going to lead to the bigger goal. So if you're trying to lose weight, maybe your daily goal is just to make sure that you spend 20 minutes working out. And then that'll lead to bigger and better things, right? But you break it down into one very small step. Maybe it's even just putting on your workout clothes when you're first starting that new habit. That's your only goal for the day and hoping that will lead into more. But he made this really interesting observation that I had never thought of before, that a lot of times when we have those key performance indicators, those daily goals, we look at them as, he called them lag indicators. Versus lead indicators. And I'd never heard this before. So if everyone knows this, pardon me, but I just thought this was brilliant.
No, I haven't heard this before. Okay. I'm loving this.
So a lot of times we look at these habits, these daily goals, these indicators of what we're working towards. We look at things that have already happened. His example, because it was a business book, was you look at how many sales you had in the last week. But that doesn't actually tell you a whole lot because you can't change that. The sales are done, they're final. And it, because the week's over, you can't make any more sales, right? Instead, so he was calling those lag indicators. And then lead indicators would be, okay, what's the step that got us there? Maybe it was sales calls. Maybe it was, I don't know. I think he used sales calls in the book. So putting that into a personal spin, if you've got that goal of losing weight, maybe what you're focusing on tracking is how much weight you've lost, but really you should be tracking how often you've worked out. Or if you're focused on the calorie side of things, keeping a food journal. So making sure you're tracking the things that lead to the progress and not just the progress. I thought that was brilliant. Anyways, I feel like I just went down a tangent, but.
Oh no, I love that. I also think that that kind of relates to like, you can turn in your personal life, like how does something make you feel, right? Like if, you know, if it is making you feel really good, chances are you're going to show up again to do it the next day. Or if like you felt really empowered after doing something. So checking in with your feelings, I think, is also super important, because I think a lot of us as millennials are very big on just kind of sweeping our feelings under the rug and not wanting to talk about them. And like, we've been given this idea, or we have this limiting belief, that like our feelings, if we show them, make us look weak in some capacity, or they make us look like we can't handle a situation. And when you're looking at ways to kind of realign different areas of your life, I think you need to be very in tune with what you're feeling around things. And so I think when you're trying to set these goals and kind of work through them, I think it's also important to, okay, well, what is a good indicator of whether something is working? Am I enjoying this? Is it working? Am I happy to show up to do it every day? Because if it's not, maybe you need to relook at what that goal is, or what that key performance indicator was that you were striving towards, and find a different way to go at it, so that you don't find yourself in an unmotivated rabbit hole that's going to pull you away from actually accomplishing it.
Yeah, that's so important. And just listening to your body, listening to your gut when it's telling you this isn't right. I know that, again, weight loss, I feel like, I know it's always used when you're talking about goals, but I feel like it's just something that's so relatable and easily measured that it's easy to talk about. But I know that for me, for a long time, I was like, well, I want to get into the habit of working out, so I need to work out. I need to create a schedule for working out so that I'm making sure I'm hitting things evenly and it's balanced, right? And it took me so long to realize that I don't like those kind of workouts. So why am I trying to force myself into it? It's okay if I just want to do like dance cardio. That's still a workout. And it took me years to realize that I wasn't connecting with that key performance indicator that I had set of working out, weightlifting twice a week and doing this and that. Like, I hated it. So why was I trying to do it? Because I wasn't working out, because I hated it so much. So I think that's a really good point too, is checking in with, what is your gut saying? What are you actually feeling about those goals that you're working towards?
So with that, when you start to, you know, put a plan in motion, and or you sit down to write a plan, how do you recommend people start when they are looking to craft a plan that is sustainable? Because I think that's, we try to lock ourselves into like, these are all the tips I saw on Instagram, or these are all the tips that I saw when I Google searched. And really, that's just whoever's article came up on top. And that's one person's perspective on how to do it. So when you're starting to craft a plan and how something's going to work in your life, you obviously want it to be sustainable, or you're not going to stick with it. And that's where we find ourselves in these very overwhelmed mindsets and positions. So how do you stop from like spinning your wheels when you're creating these plans, but also how do you make them or build them in a sustainable way so that as life does get chaotic, as a new life transition comes up, as another messy growth season bestows itself upon you, you have solid foundation that's going to carry you through those tough times rather than being the pain point that holds you back during those hard times?
Oh, that's such a good question. So first, I just want to point out to everybody that any routine, habit, plan, schedule, whatever that you set in place, it is not going to be something that is set it and forget it. You have to give yourself flexibility. You have to give yourself grace. And you have to recognize that when a new season of life comes about, it's time for a new routine. For example, the pandemic, I had all kinds of routines before the pandemic where, you know, my husband, he has quite a bit of a drive before he gets to work. So he would get up at like 5 o'clock in the morning, sometimes 4:30, depending on what he had going on that day. And I would get up with him. I would start my day. I would have my morning routine. I would do some household stuff. And then I would sit down to work at 8 a.m. When the pandemic started and he wasn't going to work anymore, and he just had to be on his computer by 7 a.m., that drastically changed all of my routines. And for the longest time, I clung to those routines of, well, this is my morning routine, so I've got to do it. I've got to make it work. But trying to make it work in a new season of life is just messy and overwhelming.
And Elliot has decided to make his appearance.
It's amazing.
Amanda's a cat person. And yes. Of course, she's really excited to say hello to the cat. So we're all just going to sit here and look at the cat. You guys just hang on 1 second. We'll be right back with you.
Oh my gosh. That's the best. That made me so happy.
So sustainable going? Seasons of life.
Plan. Yes. Thank you. And I actually have a whole podcast episode about this. If y'all head over to the Chasing Simple podcast, episode number 35, it's all about changing seasons of life and routines. But I just recognizing that whatever routine you set up, this is your permission that it's going to have to change as you go into new seasons of life, as whether it's a pandemic or whether you're moving from an apartment to a house or just moving apartments or whatever, that's a new season of life. So recognizing that and recognizing that your routines need to be flexible, and you need to be flexible and not try to force things that aren't working anymore. Cause the whole, you know, the kid's toy with the different pegs and the holes, only certain shapes will go in certain holes. That's kind of how a routine is.
Well, okay. So to go off of that a little, I think another thing that I'm seeing is, like, when I talk to people right now, they, now that the world is starting to normalize a little bit more, right? We're all starting, like, we're getting our vaccines. We're starting to feel like we can go back to somewhat. Once again, this is a good opportunity to realign those routines and to think about it. But when I'm talking to people and having these conversations, because I just thoroughly enjoy talking about habits and routines, it's one of my favorite things to talk about, I'm noticing that a lot of people are, okay, well, before I used to do this, or I'm going to go back to doing this because this is what, or, you know, I used to take all these supplements, so I'm going to go back to doing that now that my finances have stabilized. Or, oh, I used to always go for a run in the morning, so I'm going to go back to doing that. And I think sometimes we get so caught up in this idea that we have to go back to what used to work. And, like, there are other things that can work. Like, just because it used to work doesn't mean that's the only thing that will ever work. I think that that's another important takeaway for people, is just to remind yourself that, yes, you need to be flexible and adaptable, but also don't only look where you've looked before, because sometimes the next best thing is just on the other side of your little bit of uncomfortable growth, and you just need to look a little bit past what you've looked for before.
Yeah, and I also think, it's all come back to me now. The cat really, really distracted me. The other thing is that you want to make sure that you start really small. Jumping straight back into the same exact routine you used to have is not going to go well, because you're so out of practice. And that was something, anytime you create a routine, you're building one small habit on top of another. Jumping back into this whole morning routine that you had, where you had five different things that you did, that's going to be really difficult and really overwhelming. Start really small. And like you said, maybe that routine doesn't fit in your season of life that you're in now, because things have changed and you have changed and you have grown as a person. So really sit down and consider, is that a routine that you do want and need to move back into? Or are those steps something that you do need to move back into? Or do you need to change it up completely? And no matter whether you're changing it or keeping it the same, start with just one small habit that you can anchor into your day, and then build your habits slowly on top of that. A new routine is not something that you jump into with both feet, because it, like any habit, it takes time to form. And when you overwhelm yourself with a bunch of steps, it's not going to happen and you're not going to stick to it.
I think that's a great point, is that just trying to move too fast. The first step is really acknowledging that you're struggling to be productive, right? Or that you are at a growth point that, like, something is different, something has changed, and you know that you need to make a change. But beyond that, there's a lot of growth work that comes along with this. And I think that that's why we talk so much about it as a growth season, because we do go through these big growth seasons that sometimes they last a month and sometimes they last a whole year. Like, I think that we often, as millennials, often like to place these like restrictive time frames on ourselves of like, okay, well, this is hard right now, but I need to be done with this in a month because I need to move on. And when we do that, we make it harder for ourselves to move through the growth season. And instead, I think we almost, in a way, we move ourselves backwards by trying to stay safe and comfortable where we are.
Yes, 100%. That pressure that we put on ourselves for this instant gratification, I don't know why we do this, but it is something that I do all the time without even realizing it. And then my husband will point it out and I'll be like, oh, yeah, you're right. Good things take time to grow, right? I'm like, yeah, it's probably, you're right. I need to chill out. Mm-hmm. That pressure, you're exactly right. It moves us backwards because you're putting so much pressure on yourself that you can't see things clearly. And instead of taking steps forward, you're taking massive steps back because you can't see the action steps that actually need to happen to move you forward. So you're doing this, okay, I'm going to try this thing for a little bit. It didn't work, so I'm going to try this other thing. And we're not sticking with that slow, consistent growth. Frankly, nothing grows quickly. It's all slow and consistently. In any goal, any aspect, any habit, anything you're trying to accomplish, nothing happens as quickly as we want it to.
The secret sauce to everything really is consistency. Yeah. And I know that that is a really, really hard concept for millennials to adjust to and to like wrap our minds around, is this idea that like for anything good to happen, it takes time. And I think part of that is probably a product of the fact that we entered the job market after the financial crash. And so we were showing up and trying to build careers during a time that it was almost impossible to do that. And so although we were showing up and being consistent, it wasn't rewarding us, and therefore we learned that consistency isn't always the key to things. And then we tried to start doing more, and we tried to outdo ourselves, and we taught ourselves that just showing up consistently and being good at what you do was almost a bad thing because it was keeping us stuck. And so I think it goes back to like relearning and reteaching ourselves that like consistency isn't a bad thing. Showing up consistently is what builds our confidence to be able to actually take that next step.
Yeah, because you've got to grow those roots, right? If you, whatever habit or goal you're trying to implement and showing up consistently seems like it's not doing anything, well, the roots are growing stronger underneath so that you can't just knock it down, so that it is going to have a firm foundation. But we like that instant gratification. And so when we don't see immediate results and immediate cause and effect from our consistency, we give up and we turn to something different, and we switch our paths and our goals, and we decide, okay, well, that didn't work, so maybe that goal is just not for me.
Yep. We definitely talk ourselves into like the whole, I'm not worthy of this. I'm not good enough for this. Well, this worked for them, but this isn't the thing for me. I don't have any idea what I want. When really it's that we don't give things a fair chance because we do want that instant gratification. And I am totally an instant gratification person. One of my old roommates is definitely not an instant gratification person. And so she would be the one that would be like, I really want ice cream. And then she's like, but I'm going to wait 2 days and see how badly I want it. And I'd be like, no, like, let's go get the ice cream cone. And she would wait 2 days and she'd be like, yeah, I don't really want it anymore. And I'd be like, how do you do that as a millennial? Like, I can't comprehend. Yes. I really feel like that's her superpower. But yes, I'm like you, where people have to point it out to me all the time. And they're like, oh, you're just looking for the quick fix. Or you're looking for the instant gratification on this. And it's not going to come.
Yeah.
But yes, I agree. So right there with you, friends. Like, we are learning and growing through these hard seasons together. And this growth season for me is no exception. So I have loved this conversation so much. I think there are so many nuggets of valuable wisdom in here for people to take away. But you also have some really cool services that you offer and things. So I want to give you the chance to tell them about what you do outside of here, outside of your podcast world, and how they can connect with you.
Yeah, I would love to connect over on Instagram. That is definitely where I'm most active. As far as the online space, I'm at Mrs. Amanda Warfield. And I think, I think for a lot of you, the thing that I do that would be most beneficial to you, unless you're a business owner, if you're a business owner, definitely just go check out my Instagram because you'll find all kinds of fun stuff. But I do offer a VIP day where we sit down and in one day I help you overhaul all of your time management. We set up an ideal schedule for you so that you've got that space to water all the different areas of your life, rest, work, play, all of it. And you walk away with that ability to find balance and everything you need to do that with that ideal schedule that is attuned to your unique life, your unique work, your different routines that you already have in place. We'll set up routines. And I work very hard to make sure that I work with my clients on their energy levels as well and how they manage their energy, because that's something that we don't talk about enough. We talk about the time management, but realistically, some of us are early birds, some of us are night owls, and that makes a huge difference in how we are trying to accomplish things. Because if you're a night owl, but you're trying to force yourself to get up at 5 a.m. and do all this stuff, it's not going to work. It's just not. So that's my VIP day service kind of in a nutshell. And if you guys want more information about that, just go to amandawarfield.com/services and you can find more there.
Amazing. Also, you're totally right about the energy level, because as a morning person, I can't do anything when I get home from work. Yes. And that's why I get up at 4 a.m. because that's the only time of day that I can be productive.
Yeah, me too.
Is before I go to work.
Yeah. And I tried for so long to make my schedule so that, like, okay, well, I'm going to go to work and then I'm going to do all this stuff in the afternoon. I'm done by the afternoon. And also by the end of the week, we're recording this on a Friday, but I don't normally do anything on Fridays at all, because it's all very like, okay, let me look at the finances. Let me learn something in a course I'm taking. It's very low key because my energy levels are low come Friday. And so my whole schedule is based around my energy management as well as my time management.
I love that. I feel like we could do an entire episode on just that, because I am totally between that and like the vibe of the space you're in. Like, yeah, those are also such key components to all of this. All right, friends. Well, this has been so much fun and I am so looking forward to hearing what you thought. So make sure you slide into our DMs and let us know. And I will see you guys right back here, same time next week.
Okay, friends, I hope you enjoyed today's episode, but I want to take a moment to celebrate the fact that you showed up and put in the work, even if it felt hard. Growth doesn't always feel good, but it sure does mean you're leveling up in life. For show notes, blog posts, downloadable resources, and more, head on over to butwhatifyoudidpod.com and be sure to join our But What If You Did community insiders so that you never miss an update. Just scroll to the bottom of the screen and sign up for free. And if you vibed with this episode, I would love for you to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts telling us what vibed with you. This is the best way to help the podcast grow, and I just love hearing how the pod is resonating with you. Simply take a screenshot of your review and send it to hello@alisonpalank.com. That's hello@alisonpalank.com, and I'll send you my exclusive Life Lessons Roadmap for Surviving 2021 workbook as a thank you. See you soon.